Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Today, before I start the episode, I have a special announcement. My book, Spencer's Ghost, did a price drop at Amazon. It dropped to $13.99. Second news is if you go on my website, authoralcooley.com, there is a code that's available only in Bookshop. And if you copy that code, go into Bookshop, apply that code before checkout, you will take an additional $4 off that $13.99. So the book will cost you $9.99. That's a great deal. That's on my website. The code is under the book section. Copy the code, go into Bookshop, apply the code, and receive your $4 off that $13.99. The third bit of good news is, running from April 1st through May 1st, if you go into Goodreads, Spencer's Ghost will be in the giveaway section. Enter the giveaways, Spencer's Ghost. Take a chance of winning an autographed copy with a customized bookmark, and that's at no charge at all. Doesn't cost you for shipping and handling, doesn't cost you to enter, doesn't cost you for the book, it's totally free. I send you a free autographed copy of my book, Spencer's Ghost. That's April 1st through May 1st, and runs through the end of the month. Enter the contest, fill out the information, and take a chance on winning a free copy of my book. 12-year-old Lee Spencer is in the back seat of his family's car as it's pulling up the driveway of the house they are moving into. Lee notices a young girl looking at him from the upstairs window. No one else in the car sees her. This is the beginning of a 4-year journey of Lee Spencer's unbelievable events that happened in and outside of that house. Spencer's Ghost, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, any place you get your books. Available in paperback and ebook.
Hey, this is Nomar Slevic, host of the I Want to Believe podcast, and you're listening to the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Excited about my guest today. Her name is Rebel Phoenix. She is the host of Thriving in Chaos with her co-host Stella Renee. You can catch that on YouTube. A fantastic show. I highly encourage you to listen to that and watch it. She'll be coming up right after these brief messages. Today I have Rebel Phoenix on the show. We are going to get into Thriving in Chaos along with talks on Bigfoot, cryptids, and everything else paranormal in a bit. But first, welcome to the Ghost in the Valley podcast, Rebel Phoenix.
Hi, how's everyone doing tonight?
I hope you're doing better than we are. It's pretty frigid cold here in Ohio.
I'm actually your neighbor in West Virginia, so I feel your pain.
Before we get into your show, Thriving in Chaos, when did you know something strange was going on? When I say strange, I mean you're interested in the paranormal.
Probably the first time I died when I was 6. That's when my abilities really started manifesting, even though I didn't really understand them back then. But that's also the first time I remember actively seeing a ghost. And so my family and I, my grandmother actually, had bought a house. And when we moved in, there was a hot tub on the deck in the backyard. And the neighbor and I were outside playing a water gun fight one day in like August when it was really hot out. And she had gone under the deck to get away from me. And as I was standing there waiting for her to come back out, I heard somebody call my name behind me. And when I turned around, I could see a woman, but like I could see through her too. And she just stared at me. And she had long, really dark brown hair, like curly at the end. And she was in a white, old time, long, down to your ankles nightgown with blue flowers on it. And it was kind of frilly on the ends of it, like lacy on the cuffs and towards the bottom. And she just stared at me and I could see her. I could see like her face and part of her body, but like I could see through the rest of her. I could see my house behind her. And my mom was in the shower at the time. And like I said, my friend was behind me under the deck. And my friend ended up calling my name behind me after that. And I turned back around to look at her and she shot me directly in the face with the water gun, which sent me spiraling backwards head first into the hot tub. And when I did, I hit my head on the concrete side. It kind of knocked me out a little bit. So my friend ran to grab my mom. And when my mom got to the back door, she said that somebody had just thrown me over the side of the hot tub and it looked like something smacked me in the back and I coughed up all the water, but there was nobody there, at least not that she could see. I ended up describing Carmen to her, and I even got the name Carmen. I told her, you know, Carmen saved me, Carmen saved me. Of course, she didn't believe me. She thought I was crazy. But then she ended up finding old newspaper articles and stuff buried in the house up in the attic, I think. And it basically said that Carmen was the person that owned the house before us. And her own daughter had drowned in the hot tub about the same age that I was. And Carmen ended up killing herself in my bedroom, which was her daughter's old bedroom. So I think she saved me as an act of repentance or something, because I never saw her after that. After that, she like crossover disappeared, never came back. But that's when everything started happening, to where my mom constantly used to yell at me. I mean, she even took me to a number of therapists because she thought I was talking to imaginary friends when I was too old for them. But it was really just people that she couldn't see.
And how old were you at that time?
Six.
Six, okay. Because mine's pretty similar to yours, but mine was like 12 years old. And, you know, seeing a ghost for the first time, I mean, an apparition in a window pulling into our new house, you know. Yeah. And, supposedly she had hung herself in the house years ago. So
that's how Carmen died. She hung herself in my bedroom from the old rafters.
You know, because in my book, I just wrote a book that came out, you know, Spencer's Ghost. And then that's all based on my story told to the eyes of Lee Spencer, which is me. So, yeah, the stories that came out afterwards and what I found out about the house. And, you know, I get so intrigued by these stories, you know, because if anybody can believe you, it's me.
Everyone that has actually seen my abilities firsthand tells me I should write a book.
You should. I mean, you know, it's so interesting on your life experience. I mean, what got you into the paranormal? And there's a lot of people out there interested in your story. Matter of fact, your TV show, Thriving in Chaos, which that's everything paranormal.
We're not actually limiting ourselves to any topics. You know, Thriving in Chaos kind of incorporates the entire world around us, right?
Mm-hmm. But
but our specializations are horror, paranormal, true crime, things along those lines. But we're not afraid of any topic you want to bring to the table.
Well, I like that. Yeah. See, mine's only on paranormal, but I like the fact you can step out and do your true crimes. You know, and when you say your gifts, what do you mean? Are you like a psychic medium?
I'm clairvoyant, I'm clairaudient, I'm clairsentient, and I'm precognitive. So I can see spirits, I can feel spirits, I can hear spirits, I see them, and I can see the future. I have lots of people that could attest to that. I've actually saved quite a few lives with the gifts I've had.
Yeah, I've had people, you know, on my show before that could see maybe, like you say, true crime, a case of a missing person or a murdered child, say. And I had a woman on here off the air. She didn't want to go on here because it was still an ongoing case that she was working on with the LA Police Department. she knew where this child was. You know, she didn't know the name. She didn't know boy or girl. She knew it was a child, the age, and where the body was. And she was putting one and one together, following this one story, and she says, oh, my God, I think I'm contacting this person they're looking for. It's missing. So we won't get it out. But it's like, you know, I you know, that's why I always say when you have these gifts, do you consider that a curse or a blessing?
Both. It's both. I mean, I've had similar experiences to what you were just talking about where, but I've never actually worked with a police department or anything, but I've had times where I've just been driving down the road and I feel pulled in certain directions and come to find out I found somebody on the side of the road that was stranded and needed help, or somebody broke down and had no gas money to go anywhere and they didn't have cell phone service or things like that. You know, I'm more of a, I would say out of all my abilities, precognition and the clairsentience are my most dominant. Like, I feel more than anything, but like what I feel kind of plays in my head like a movie. And it's a blessing to those you can help with these abilities, but it's also a curse to those that condemn you like you're the Antichrist, which I've had churches do that to me, and I'm Christian. I mean, I've got a cross tattooed on my arm.
Well, I'm much older than you, but I can remember as a child growing up, if you ever mentioned anything like that in church or to a church member or a higher up of the church congregation, you're labeled as you're going to go to hell, going to burn in hell.
Or you get a one-way ticket to the insane asylum.
Or an insane asylum. I was just going to say that, like in my case, when I was writing on my story growing up, I have said this probably 100 times before, and people are probably sick of hearing it, but who you go to back then when there was no internet? There's no YouTube. There's no anything. Who do you go to? Who do you go to talk to? You know what I'm saying? So the only person I could talk to was my grandmother, and she had she was a lot like me. I mean, she believed in her superstitions, her old remedies that were passed down. So yeah, there's so much to talk about, but who do you talk to without being labeled crazy? I mean, if you call a cop over to your house and say, hey, there's running around going upstairs, but there's nobody up there, you know, they're going to lock you up. That was back in 1969. So, you know, that's a different time back then. And I think now with the internet and all these channels and Facebook groups you can go to, to hook up with almost literally thousands of paranormal podcasts and YouTube channels, anything you want to go to, you can connect to somebody.
Oh, yeah. I think we have Ed and Lorraine Warren and Taps to blame for that one.
And, you know, sometimes they think that when you watch some of these shows on TV, everything's demonic. You know, and they have to sell that to sell their TV show. And everybody that calls you for an investigation, they want to be something like that TV show, or it's not. Your pipes are rattling downstairs and it's banging your floor when your furnace kicks on. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody wants their 15 minutes, man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They'll do whatever they got to get it. The minute they hear the stairs creak, oh my God, there's a ghost. It's a demon.
Have you ever been on a paranormal team or had your own?
Both. Well, I did one or two investigations with Inspired Ghost Tracking back in the day. They're based out of Maryland. Margaret Ehrlich's group. That didn't really work out too well. After that, I just kind of branched off on my own and did my own thing. And sometimes things worked out and sometimes it didn't. I mostly do like domestic hauntings. I'm not in the public eye as much. You know, people are the ones that come to me for help. I don't go looking for people that need help, if that makes sense.
It does, you know, because that's why I asked that question, was because with your gifts, you'd be ideal on some of these paranormal teams, you know, because you want different views of that investigation, different, you know, maybe an atheist or a preacher or a psychic medium or an empath. You know, you want people, different views, in my opinion, of an investigation.
I will say I've been offered jobs for different haunted locations because I'm out psychic, they're psychic. I know there was a group a few years ago, well, probably a long time ago now. I'm not young anymore, but back when I was like early 20s, teenager-ish, I went to haunted attraction up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And they were doing it. They had a haunted attraction in a mill that was actually haunted. And they had their paranormal investigators and their psychics there for afterwards, because they didn't tell you anything really going into it in case you got anything out of it. So afterwards, they would take you to a room, show you this movie about everything they found, this, that, and the other. And I ended up, my friends thought I was like just putting on a show for them because I'm that person. They think every time I say I'm feeling something, it's for shock value or I'm messing with them, but I'm not. But I kept getting, like, I kept feeling breathing on my neck and I kept smelling whiskey. And I'm like, guys, I'm telling you, there is some spirit here that is picking on me. And they're like, yeah, uh-huh, okay, whatever. We knew you were going to do this, being in a haunted spot. And I'm like, I'm telling you, like, I'm smelling whiskey and this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, the guy at the investigation table, his stuff starts lighting up every time I talk. So he calls us over because now he's interested because I'm getting results. His psychic was standing there. I'm telling him, like, it's definitely a male spirit. And she's like, oh, well, we have this trigger object. It's most likely the little boy that died here, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. No, it's not a little boy. I'm telling you, it's a grown man. It's a grown man. And she's like, no, no, it's the little boy. Trust me, it's just a little boy. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, I think his name is James. And as I said it, their EMF reader lit up. And the guy looked and he was like, no, no, you stop. You keep going. He's like, tell me more. Tell me more. And I'm like,
you just fired his psychic medium.
Yeah. I'm like, he's standing here telling me that how you guys think he died isn't entirely how it happened. And I'm like, he was really, really sad and depressed, and I'm getting this, like, it's a very heavy emotion. And I'm like, I feel something had to do with his daughter and his wife, like, and I'm seeing, like, all kinds of crazy stuff. And my friends are just sitting here like, will you stop right now? Stop it. And I'm like, guys, I'm just telling you what I'm feeling, man. Either I'm right or I'm wrong, but who cares either way, you know? So the guy's like, come on, no, no, I think you're onto something here. Keep it going. So I'm like, okay, I feel like his daughter was really sick and, like, maybe she died. And then he got really, really depressed because his wife left him because of their daughter dying. And then, you know, the whiskey smells because he likes to drink, and I think he tried to drink himself to death originally. He was trying to commit suicide. But that didn't work fast enough. So then he decided to hang himself from that tree over there above the creek. But the rope broke as he was hanging. So he ended up actually falling into the creek and drowned in the water. He didn't die hanging as they originally thought. And the guy was like, has she been here before? Like, and I'm like, no, actually, this is the first time I've been here. And the guy's like, you want a job? Because she couldn't even get that much. And I'm like, well, you have to understand, he sees something in me much like himself. He was the parent that lost the child. And at the time, I was the child that lost their parent. So we kind of had a similar grief. And I think that's why he kind of attached to me and didn't want to talk to anybody else, because he ended up following me home and stayed with me for years.
Yeah, I always said, you know, sometimes a spirit picks and chooses who they want to connect with. Because I've been on an investigation where the only person a spirit wanted to talk to was a person sitting in the back of the room who really didn't have much to do at all with the investigation. So I always said, you know, a spirit will pick and choose sometimes. Or, like I said before, sometimes you might go to an event and you'll sit there all night in the dark and nothing's going to happen, you know. Sometimes your meters are just flying off the hook. It all depends on, I think, the group that's investigating, on how you present yourself to, you know, you show respect. You just can't go in there and start picking on a spirit, you know. So what is your thought on the afterlife?
In which sense? Because, like, I've died twice. I've seen what's on the other side.
Right. I mean, there are some people who think that there is no heaven or hell, or there is heaven, but no hell. And you're just either reverting to heaven or you're reverting to your rest of your time on this earth. So my thinking is the afterlife, like, say you died, okay, your spirit moves on or doesn't move on. So do you believe you can move that spirit on or help it move on?
So I've come across a lot of earthbound spirits that are simply afraid of what's on the other side to cross over. Like, they knew they didn't make the best choices in life. They knew they weren't where they were supposed to be with God. And they fear judgment. So they choose to stay earthbound as long as possible to avoid judgment. But they can only stay earthbound so long before they have no choice but to cross over. And I will say that when it comes to the demonic, okay, I find it hilarious that a lot of these investigators go to places that are abandoned and every one of them have demons. If anybody knows anything about demons, they were created to be the downfall of man, much like Satan. So what would they accomplish by being in a building with no people? I mean, now, maybe now that the paranormal field has blown up dramatically and everybody's into doing it now, it's not the scary taboo item anymore. Now everybody talks about it. Everybody's an investigator. Everybody's an expert. All these people are going to these places, and I firmly believe that they're the ones that draw the demons to them. I don't think there's demons haunting abandoned buildings, because what would that accomplish? Were they just going to walk around and yell at the walls?
No, sometimes the people get confused or between an angry spirit and they'll call it a demon. You know,
yeah.
I always said, if you're a jerk in life, you're going to be a jerk in death. So you have angry spirits and goofy spirits in death, you know.
I think sometimes the angry spirits are angry because nobody can understand them anymore. Like, they died with some kind of unfinished business, and they can't find that person to get their message out. So they're angry because they have this unfinished business that they don't know how to finish. And now they can't rest in peace until it's finished. Mm-hmm. So they're just stuck in limbo between the afterlife and purgatory, I guess you want to call it.
Right. You know, and I converted over to Catholic years ago when I married my wife. I didn't know what purgatory was, you know, because we're always taught when you die, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's nothing in between. There's no thinking about it. There's no time delay. It's heaven or hell. And that's how you give your life to Jesus. And that's how we were raised. But I had a whole different looking at things when I was Catholic, you know, because their thing is purgatory. You have that time. Well, could it be a second? Could it be millisecond? Could it be 10 years? I mean, who's to say?
There's some spirits that are allowed to come back and visit you, even after they've crossed over. Like, I used to do readings for people, and I had one client that she really didn't want a reading, but her friends kept telling her to get one because she didn't believe in it. You know, she didn't believe in psychics or things like that, mainly because she had been to a lot of other psychics and they didn't tell her the truth. They just told her what she wanted to hear, you know, and she asked me for a reading. Well, she didn't, like I said, her friends convinced her to get one from me because they were people that knew what I could do. You know, I'd already done it for them. And I was spot on every time with them. And this girl, she ended up asking me a couple questions. And then towards the end of the reading, her grandfather had popped in. But she had asked, like, I think she said she spent money. And I did the reading for free, mind you. She spent like $500-$600 on other psychics for readings.
Hmm.
Just to find out that they told her what she wanted to hear, not what she actually needed to hear. And she asked me the same questions. She asked me, you know, do you see me getting married? Do you see kids in my future? And what I see, it can change. Like, what I see is based on decisions of those involved at the time. So if you have your mind made up that you want kids and you want family, that's what I'm going to see for you. Same as, you know, if you decide to change your mind, 10 minutes from then what I see is going to change because your mind changed.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So she asked me those questions and I told her, I was like, you know, I'm really not seeing it in your future right now. I'm not ruling it out for way down the road, but right now I'm not seeing any of that in your future. I don't see marriage. I don't think that's really what you want. I think you're more career driven. You want your ducks in a row before you settle down. You know, I'm not seeing kids right now. Maybe in the future, but right now you're career minded. You don't want kids. You don't want family. You don't want distractions. And then that's when the grandfather popped in when it came to the business. He begged me and begged me. He was like, look, I know you don't want to do this, but please tell her not to do this deal. It will ruin her financially. He's like, you know, please tell her this. Please tell her this. Ultimately, it's her choice, but please, she needs to know this. So I was like, hey, you know, somebody's here. I think it's a grandfather type that knows you. He's talking about some business deal you got going on. He's telling me to tell you, do not do it. It will ruin you financially. You will be so bankrupt that you will end up killing yourself because there's no coming back from it. And that's when she told me that she was getting ready to sign a contract with her and three other business partners where she was investing like $150,000 into this business. I don't even remember what the business was.
A lot of money.
She was getting ready to invest like her entire life savings worth of money into this business. And I was like, well, your grandfather's telling you not to do it. Ultimately, your choice. It's not going to affect me one way or the other, but he's literally begging you not to do this. And she was like, well, you know, he wouldn't steer me wrong, so I'm not going to do it. She ended up sending me money after that. Like, she just randomly PayPal'd me one day because she didn't do that deal. And the one business partner that was supposed to be the leader of it all took all their investment money and ran. He took the money from the other two people, ran, and left them bankrupt.
Are you near Appalachian Mountains?
Yeah, I'm in Charleston, West Virginia. Okay,
because I had a case come across me yesterday. It was a 411 case. I think it was near Appalachian. Have you had anything with that, with the missing people through all the national parks and recreational areas, you know, missing people? You know, and this one was kind of disturbing, of this child was missing. And I think it was somewhere near West Virginia. And it was a little boy missing. They end up finding him. But the weird thing was, he was quite a ways away where he was found missing. In that time period, he couldn't have got there that quick.
Yeah, I think I saw that on another YouTube show. I think Mr. Ballin did that one.
Right, yeah, it was real close to that one. I just got that yesterday. And I said, I heard that one. He said, no, this is a different case. So that's what I was doing before I got in with you. I was trying to investigate this case. But there's so many of them.
Yeah. You know?
So
I mean, there's mountains surrounding me. Anywhere you look, you're going to see a mountain. And there's so many hollers and different places you can go down. There's so many places around here that's like the land that time forgot. Like, you'll never find a body if you hit it.
Right. Like you said, like with true crime, you say you got that ability where you can talk to the dead, you know, so, and prove other people wrong. So to me, I would say, you know, I say, well, is that a curse or a blessing? I would say that's a blessing. But in another sense, I had a lady on my show telling me it's a curse, because at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to hear this little child crying for her mother, because she doesn't know her mother's dead. She doesn't even know she's dead. So, and here she is trying to move this child on to find her mother. If you want to be with your mother, then you know, you can go be with your mother, you know. But I thought it was kind of sad that she didn't know she was dead, and she didn't know her mother was dead.
That happens when they die really, really suddenly, unexpectedly. That's the other thing that kind of annoys me with investigators, if I'm being honest. Like, we respect the spirits. We go to these locations and investigate, but ultimately it's our job to help them cross over. That's why we have these gifts.
Uh-huh.
So how are you going to go to these locations and just leave them there for profit?
Right, right.
How is that fair to these spirits that are suffering? Like, I went and stayed at a haunted inn a couple months ago. And, like, there was a portal in the basement. And I'm like, you know there's bad stuff here, and you're glorifying it. You are literally selling other people's pain for profit. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to say I don't go visit these places because I'm a fan too, but first and foremost, I think it's horrible to profit off of other people's pain.
Yeah, I say profits. You're talking about big money. They're charging big bucks for these teams to come in there.
They literally charged us $300 to sleep in a closet with benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted us to pay extra just to have breakfast served. It was like $20. It would have been like another $80 just for us to have breakfast and dinner. I'm like, really? Really?
Right.
And we had to share one bathroom with an entire floor of other customers. That's like at least, I don't know, there was like so many rooms. But it was like 1, 2, 3, maybe 5 rooms on the floor that we had with one bathroom. And you're charging all this money for something that didn't even have anything to do with you. It's not like it got passed down. It just got bought and sold.
Right. I agree.
I'm not against having a museum of remembrance like the Villisca Axe Murder House, but don't profit off of people's pain. You know what I mean? Museums are one thing. Investigations are a different story.
Mm-hmm. You say tomorrow you're starting your new YouTube channel. I got a couple of minutes here. Explain what's that going to be about.
Like I said, we primarily specialize in the paranormal, the horror, like horror movies, true crime, pretty much anything strange, dark, mysterious, unexplained, anything you want to throw at us. You know, we're open for discussion, but we also are thriving in chaos with the rest of the world around us. So we don't limit topics, you know. I have so many celebrity guests coming on. Like tomorrow we have celebrity actor Jeremy London. We also are doing back-to-back shows. So our show after Jeremy is Craig Ahrens and David Espinoza, who are horror movie filmmakers. They're independent filmmakers. We have Tony Spear coming on right before the new Conjuring movie premieres. So we're doing some mainstream interviews with some well-known people, but we're also helping other people get their names out there. And we have a lot of ghost hunters and different groups that are also coming on for interviews to kind of give us fresh new perspectives.
When you say we, who is we?
Me and my co-host Stella Renee.
Okay.
Who in real life is my cousin.
Okay. Can I go to YouTube and see these shows? Or is it a paid subscription, or how does that work?
Nope, we are right on YouTube. They can see us for free, and if they have a YouTube subscription, we'll be commercial free for them.
And I will, you know, you send me the links, and I will put those links at the bottom of this episode so people can come to your show, contact you. Maybe, I don't know, do you hire out for your readings or anything?
We're open to bookings. Like, we would love to do some paracons, some horror conventions. Like, we're open to public appearances. We're, you know, we're chill, down-to-earth, approachable people. Like, we put our pants on the same way anybody else does. We're just out there for educational purposes and entertainment value. We also have our own email for anybody that wants fan mail. It's thrivinginchaostv@gmail.com.
Okay, cool. I'll have that in there also. And thank you, Rebel Phoenix. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. I appreciate being here.
Thank you, Rebel Phoenix. It was fantastic having you on the show today. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and check out Thriving in Chaos. I'm hooked on the show. I think it's fantastic. And she co-hosts that with Stella Renee. Great show. Stella Renee and Rebel Phoenix, Thriving in Chaos. Thank you, Rebel. I'm sure I'm going to have you back on the show. And join me in 2 more weeks. I'll have another great show for you lined up on Ghost in the Valley podcast. A quick reminder that the links for Spencer's Ghosts for the Goodreads giveaway program will be in the show notes below. And also, there'll be links to my website, authoralcooley.com, where you can copy the code in the book section for Bookshop and receive an additional $4 off that $13.99.